Our lesson today is out of the 22nd Psalm. We're just covering the first part of the Psalm, verses 1 through 18. Christ's predicted sufferings and petition on the cross. Psalm 22 describes an execution by crucifixion that was not experienced by its author David. And no word of confession of sin exists in the Psalm, so it predicts Christ's sufferings on the cross. Almost every other place where you have David talking about his sufferings, he always admits that he's a sinner, and some of this might be because of sin or something. There's not a single word about the idea of sin in this text. So we're talking about a person that sin is not a problem. And of course, that would fit the Lord Jesus. And yet it's death by crucifixion. Crucifixion was not known until the Roman times. In fact, the Phoenicians, they got it from the Phoenicians. And it was practiced in Israel. I forget if Josh McDowell in his book A Ready Defense said it was for 13 years or 17 years, an extremely short period of time. Of course, the death of Christ was right in there. So David is writing this 1,000 years before death was by crucifixion, that they was even practiced, that he even knew about it. So we'll have to keep it in mind. To the chief musician upon Ahileth Shahar, a psalm of David. So Jesus cited Psalm 22 at the time of the evening sacrifice, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the cross in Matthew 27:36. He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That's actually Aramaic, it's not Hebrew, because Aramaic was his native tongue at the time. Otherwise, it would have been tabachthani, but he said sabachthani. It was very close, Aramaic is to Hebrew. But anyway, he cited it and alluded to the psalm's last phrase before dying. In John 19:30, he said, it is finished. That's a different tense than the verb that is used at the end of Psalm 22, verse 31, that he has done it. So Jesus was focusing on fulfilling that psalm while he was suffering in our place on the cross. So this gives us entrance into the mind of Christ. So we study Psalm 22, 1-18 on Christ's sufferings and petition on the cross for insight and application. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you have granted us this morning to meet together and to fellowship around the word of God. We ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the text and to apply it, and that we ask that we would be reminded of our need to depend upon the Spirit of God to begin to apply the word effectively. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the psalm in the King's English, and then we'll look at it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried out unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delights in him, or if he delights in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, which is a broken piece of pottery. My tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou hast brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded or compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look up and stare at me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Okay, that's as far as we're going so far. Very interesting. Since verse 1 of the Hebrew text comprises the introductory notes of the English Bible, we stay with the numbering system in the English Bible for clarification in this lesson. So we translate the first part of the work of Psalm 22, 1-18, and we note Christ's fulfillments as follows. My Elohim, remember Elohim is the word for the creator God in Genesis chapter 1. It's not the word Yahweh, which would be, we would translate it, Lord, or the I am. This is the creator God. My creator God, my creator God. And it's interesting when Peter says, if you're suffering according to the will of God, commit your soul unto the creator God as unto a reliable creator. So that's what Jesus is doing here. My Elohim, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from rescuing me, so far from the words of my distressful cry? And we'll look at the New Testament passage as we when we finish with this. Oh, my Elohim, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and by night, and I am not silent. And keep in mind, there were 3 hours of light on the cross, and there were 3 hours of darkness on the cross. Yet you, emphatic, are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. And you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted and you brought them into security. To you they cried out and they were slipped away from trouble. In you they trusted and were not ashamed. But I, that's emphatic again, I myself am a worm and not a nobleman, scorned by common men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He committed himself to Yahweh. Let him bring him into security. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. That's what these people are saying in mocking me. And then the one suffering on the cross, for it was you who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breasts. From birth I was cast upon you. From the womb of my mother you have been my Elohim. Do not be far from me, because trouble is near and there is none to help. Many bulls, and this is figurative of dreadful foes, many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Bashan is the area in Gilead, northeastern Israel, that was known for its cattle. And these were unusually powerful animals. Roaring lions, which were prominent in David's day in Israel, roaring lions tear their prey, opening their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. That's what would happen when a person's on the cross, and they take it and the cross drops after the person's nailed on the cross. It drops 2 to 3 feet into the ground and it jars and it dislocates a number of the joints. My heart is turned to wax. It is melted away within me. And these actually, Dr. Ryrie in his footnote indicate, they actually describe crucifixion, the suffering of a person crucified. My strength is dried up as a potsherd due to a lot of bleeding and so forth. A person is very thirsty. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They've pierced my hands and my feet, obvious crucifixion. I can count all my bones. And then they, the men, stare up and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now I want to look at the New Testament passages to show how absolutely precisely so much of this psalm has been fulfilled very, very directly in the crucifixion of our Lord. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, Jesus is on the cross. And verse 46, this is at the time of the evening sacrifice. It says about the 6 hours, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's when many people were actually slaughtering the Passover lamb. There were two. Jesus celebrated the Passover according to Galilean time, which would have been the night before. In Judea, they celebrated the Passover according to Judean time. The Jews had different ways of telling the day. In Galilee, I think it was from sunrise to sunrise, and in Judea, sunset to sunset, something like that. Anyway, Jesus celebrated the Passover in Jerusalem according to the Galilean practice, because he was from Galilee. But when he was on the cross, the people in Judea around him in Jerusalem were celebrating Passover according to the Judean time. So when he was on the cross at this point, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Apparently that's when the Father was turning his back on him. That's when they were sacrificing the Passover lamb there in Judea. Very interesting, the timing. And Matthew 27, verse 46, about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Sabachthani is Aramaic. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When a person gets into a state of suffering, they revert to their native language. And Aramaic would have been Jesus' human native language. That's what the Jews spoke when they came back from Babylon. They didn't actually speak Hebrew. Hebrew was what was the classical language. That was what the scholars still taught and everything, and they could understand it. But they spoke, their native tongue was Aramaic, and this is in Aramaic. And then down in, verse 6 that we have, the Psalm 22, but I am a worm and not a nobleman. I'm scorned by common men and despised by the people. Notice how this was fulfilled. Matthew 27, beginning at verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now, these are the people who are passing by. These are regular guys. And then likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross. We'll believe in him. And then here, this is the fulfillment of Psalm 22:8. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Notice how beautifully that was fulfilled, Psalm 22:8. The thieves also, these are the lowly guys. They're the criminals. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And the thieves, when they're on the cross like that, when you're already crucified, you don't have much to lose. In fact, if you can irritate the soldiers so that they go ahead and put you out of your misery by killing you, that's actually a relief rather than dying the slow, painful death that they were dying. And then all who see me mock, they hurl insults, shaking their heads in Psalm 22:7. That was fulfilled back in Matthew 27, verse 39. They passed by reviling him, wagging their heads. If you wanted to revile a person, you'd shake your head like this, very strongly. A lot like our no, but it was a very strong. And remember, in an Oriental culture, public defamation is almost as bad as death. It's not that way so much in our culture. A person can be humiliated in front of other people, and it's kind of a bad thing, but you kind of get over it in a couple of weeks. But not in the Middle East or in China, especially China and Japan. If you humiliate a person in public, you might as well kill them. That's how strongly they feel about that. And so Jesus is facing public humiliation, which is part of the intense suffering of the cross. And then in verse 8, he committed himself to Yahweh. Let him bring him into security. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. And that notice, we read that in verses 40 to 44. Verse 42, he saved others. He cannot save himself. In verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. Notice how this all fulfilled Scripture. And of course, Jesus had the Scriptures in mind. He knew what was going on, and he saw this being perfectly fulfilled. And that's why the Lord Jesus was able to handle, in part, the suffering that he went through on the cross. And then if we skip down to verse 14, where the psalmist said, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It has melted away within me. Dr. Ryrie, in his footnote at Psalm 22:11-18, says that these descriptions actually describe the suffering of a person who's being crucified. That's something that was unknown in David's time. And then, my strength is dried up, and verse 15, my strength is dried up as a potsherd, or as a piece of a broken piece of pottery, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of the earth. Notice in John chapter 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing all things that now accomplished, that were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now, I don't believe he was just saying, I thirst, just to fulfill Scripture. He was genuinely thirsty. He'd lost a lot of blood, especially with the beating where they had laid the back bare, and he bled that way, the crown of thorns, there was profuse bleeding that way, the bleeding through the nails on his hands and the feet and so forth. So he was very weak, and he was very, very thirsty. He'd been thirsty for a long time, but he said it at this time to fulfill Scripture. And then dogs have surrounded me, verse 16. A band of evil men have encircled me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. Matthew 27, verse 35, talks about the crucifixion of the Lord. And they crucified him, which means they pierced his hands and his feet. And also, John 20, verses 24 to 28. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, which means twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples were there, for said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And the side is where they pierced him. And when Jesus comes to Thomas in verse 27, he says, reach here your finger and behold my hands. Reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believing. And also, I count all my bones. The men stare and they gloat at me. And Matthew chapter 27, verse 36, we read that sitting down, they were watching him there. They were looking at him. They were staring at him in this situation. And that would be a difficulty under the circumstances. And then they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This is interesting because it sounds almost like a contradiction. If they're dividing his clothing, why are they casting lots? Well, there were two types of clothing that Jesus had, and John describes this in John chapter 19, verses 23 and 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was throughout sewn with a single seam. It was woven from top to bottom. In other words, it was actually crocheted or knit. And of course, if you try to cut something that's knit, the thing just unravels. So they said among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my clothing among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. They cast lots for part of it, and they divided the other part. The part that they could divide, they divided. The part that they couldn't, they cast lots for. So the precision with which this is fulfilled, and of course, who would have known that Jesus' outer coat would have been, you know, crocheted or knit? Probably one of the women followers of Jesus, or might have been his mother, had apparently knit this outer coat. Remember, this is early April, it's cold, something like the weather we have here. And so he had this knit situation on the outside, and yet he had undergarments that were in separate pieces. I count all my bones, men stare and gloat at me, and in verse 27, verse 13, and they divide my garments. So the lesson is Christ fulfilled Psalm 22, 1 to 18, in his sufferings on the cross, facing temporary abandonment by God the Father as he bore the sins of the world on himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's an amazing verse. And he also suffered the rejection and scorn of all classes of men, Psalm 22, 6 to 8, and Matthew 27, 39 to 44. Not to mention the physical torments of death by crucifixion, which were awesome. In fact, there's a saying that the only people that the Roman soldiers ever pitied that they were involved in executing were people that they crucified. The suffering was so intense, they're the only people that they ever felt sorry for. They could care less. In fact, if a Roman soldier knew that he was going to be crucified, he would fall on his sword, because death by suicide through the sword is much, much more merciful than death by crucifixion. Nevertheless, in handling his suffering, Jesus recalled Psalm 22, being aware of fulfillment of this psalm and identifying with its predictions and its hope. So may we thank God for his gift of salvation to us through faith alone and Christ alone, with his great work on the cross. You know, in our church, we talk about salvation being free to us. It is free to us. But that doesn't mean it didn't cost something. It cost the Son of God his life on the cross. So our salvation comes at an enormous price. But we get it free by grace through faith. And so forever, we owe God praise. We owe him thanksgiving for the tremendous salvation that is wrought to us in Christ. Now, 1 Peter 2:21 calls us to follow Christ's example in suffering. In fact, Peter says he left us a pattern to follow in his footprints. I think this is very fitting for Peter to write this, because later Peter himself was crucified. He followed the Lord in crucifixion. That's what the Lord had predicted. He had denied Jesus because he was afraid of being crucified himself. So God forced him to have to face crucifixion to get victory over that which had caused him to deny the Lord. and he eventually, we don't know if this is true or not, but according to church tradition, when it came for him to be crucified, he asked that he be crucified upside down because he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified in the manner of my Lord." And they went ahead and crucified him upside down. And of course, death would be much faster that way because of the upset of the organs being pushed up into the throat area and so forth. And so Peter would have died. But nevertheless, he had the wherewithal to think of how unworthy he was to be crucified like his Lord. And I think this is a tremendous testimony of the victory that Peter gained. 1 Peter 2:21 calls us to follow Christ's example in suffering. So if we're led of God to suffer for the Lord, may we, like Jesus Christ, focus on Scripture for edification. Our Lord was focusing on the Word of God and how he was involved in fulfilling the Word of God on the cross. That was a pattern for us. Now, what's exciting about this is the last half, as far as I'm concerned, the last half of Psalm 22 is like a victory call. The first part deals with the sufferings of Christ. The second part deals with how God turns this around, and he gains tremendous victory. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it was actually a call of triumph. He was thinking of you and me, a group of people yet to be born who would be praising God because of this. And looking ahead to that, that's why he said, "It's finished, it's done, we've done it." It's kind of like a high five. And then he died. And according to a doctor who was I think he was the state coroner for the state of Arizona, and he's been quoted in Josh McDowell's book, when Jesus Christ died and then they pierced him and out came water and blood, this man says that Christ died because of the rupture of the casing that was around the heart, which would have been an excruciating death. No one did that for him. He did that himself, because when they pierced him, the postmortem evidence is that the blood came out separated from the clear fluid in the blood. And John calls it water because he didn't have any other term for it. Well, that means Jesus had been dead for some time, but that meant also that he had died of this rupture. So Jesus took his own life by rupturing that casing around the heart, which shows he was eager to face death because of his love for us and his redemption on the cross. So that's the kind of a Lord you're going to be seeing someday in heaven, one who's very, very excited about your getting there and who gave, from a human perspective, everything that he had to die on the cross for you and for me. So that's the Lord that we serve. That's the God who has died for us, and he's also the head of the body, he's head of the church. And we need to praise him and thank him, but also follow his example. If we ever are called upon the Lord to suffer in some way, it might even be martyrdom someday, you never know. But if it's suffering, and we all at times are called on the Lord to suffer in different ways, in different degrees, what we need to do is just to follow our Lord. And he's given us a pattern here to follow. Okay, we'll open it up for you. If you had some questions or feedback or discussion, it could be on this psalm. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that is coming.